Agatha Raisin by M.C. Beaton. Dramatized for radio by David Semple, starring Penelope Keith as Agatha. Episode 2, Duck and Cover.
Out of the way, Chivers. I enjoy a fry up, but I draw the line at crispy fried carrot. Hello?
Aggie, it's me, surprise, surprise.
Roy, what are you doing up so early? It's not even 10 o'clock yet.
Well, I've had sleepless nights worrying about you. It was on TV last night, another murder in your village.
I know. First the local curate, then his landlady. It won't do much for property prices.
So, Miss Marple, who do you think did it?
I really don't know. Tristan, that's the curate who was killed, was very good at getting money out of people, so that's a possible motive.
Well, they do say it's the root of all evil. Anyway, you haven't asked me what I'm up to at the moment.
You don't need to ask Mount Vesuvius for an eruption.
I'm a television producer.
Oh, yes. Who are you working for?
I'm a freelancer.
Oh, I see. No one will have you.
Actually, I have several BAFTA-winning programs in the pipeline. Oh, now, here's a thought. Why don't I make a drama documentary about Carlsley? And we can call it, The Village of Death.
Oh, Roy, please. No.
No, it'll be tasteful. There'll be very little nudity. Now, who can we get to play you? Oh, I know. Judy Dench.
Why can't I play myself?
Don't be silly. You'd be far too wooden. Besides, if we can get Dame Judy, it has a touch of class.
Roy, it isn't funny. I actually saw the dead woman's legs sticking out of a shallow grave.
Were they good legs?
I don't know. Why?
Joanna Lumley. Not much of a part, but you can't be choosy at her age.
Roy, how can you be so insensitive?
I had the best teacher in the world.
Oh, I do have one other bit of news.
Oh, yes.
You remember James Lacey, who lives next door?
Oh, yeah. 6'2", with eyes of blue and a dimple on his chin.
He kissed me.
Ah, you lucky devil!
We were discussing the case, and he just sort of puckered up. Mind you, he had had half a bottle of homemade wine.
Well, that explains it. You have enough to drink, and anybody becomes attractive.
Thank you, Roy. Oh, I've got to go. The doorbell's ringing, and my breakfast's on fire.
Serves you right. I...
Hang on a minute! James!
Hello, Aggie.
Hang on a sec. My sausages are smoking.
Well, tell them to stop. It's a terrible habit.
Oh, dear. Well, I won't get any Michelin stars this morning.
Yeah, but you can always find work at a crematorium.
Are you here for a reason or just to lower my self-esteem?
Mrs. Boxby was on the phone. Looking for volunteers to clean up the village. The tabloid press have left it in a bit of a mess.
I'll be around when I buried my breakfast. Anything else?
And I've been taking a closer look at our number one suspect, Richard Binzer.
Yes.
And I no longer suspect him.
Because?
Well, last year he donated $250,000 to charity, so if Tristan did con him out of a few thousand, it couldn't have hurt that much.
Never underestimate the sheer vindictiveness of the super rich.
And I was beginning you with a Karl Marx of the Cots world.
Was there anything else, James?
No.
You don't remember anything about last night?
Not a lot. Mrs. Beccarelli's wine was rather strong stuff. I do hope I didn't make a fool of myself.
Not exactly.
Oh, God, I seem to remember singing. I do hope I didn't frighten Chivers.
You did a bit more than singing. In fact, at one point, you actually...
I'll get that. Bill Wong!
Well, 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 my two favourite detectives, Cagney and James Lacey.
Bill... Why are you giving me that suspicious look? I've not done anything wrong.
Innocent as a lamb in springtime, are we? Well, I have in my hand a piece of paper.
No, where have I heard that before?
It's a fax we received from a Mr. Richard Binzer. Ever heard of him?
The name rings a vague bell. Have you, James?
Possibly. I'm not quite sure if I can place him.
Well, that's funny. Because two people met him in his office yesterday and he encloses a picture taken from a CCTV.
Oh, it's us.
Yes, I think I can place him now.
Mr. Binzer says he's happy to cooperate with the police, but he doesn't appreciate busybodies and his legal team are prepared to take action.
Bill, did you know he gave £5,000 to Tristan to set up a youth club?
Yes, I knew that.
And Tristan pocketed the cash?
I'm well aware of that too. But I also know he then returned it.
We've only got Binzer's word for that.
Yes, And Binzer is an extremely powerful man.
You're not seriously saying you're scared of him.
I'm saying that as well as solving this murder, I have to make sure no one else gets killed or arrested. And if you two are quite so keen on helping out, why not go and join Mrs. Bloxby's litter patrol?
Good idea. Let's gather some rubbish. I'll have that packed.
Give me that. I've nothing else to say, except that your house stinks, and it's time you got a smoke alarm.
Well, that's us off his Christmas card list.
We'll make up and be friends again. We always do.
Do you want to cook yourself something decent?
No, I'll have my usual breakfast. Fags and fingernails.
Oh, my dear Mrs. Wendell, thank you so much for coming to help.
Always happy to oblige, Mrs. Bloxby. I'm not one of those villagers who waltzes in and expects everything done for them, and I'm not afraid of hard graft.
Oh, it's a depressing sight. 18th century graves strewn with kebab wrappers.
Yes, though I'm not sure I can pick them up. I do suffer from vertigo.
Who would have thought a handful of journalists could make such a mess?
Good morning.
Oh, look. Colonel Lacey.
Oh, yes. And he's brought his shadow. It must be a novelty for her, seeing manual labour. Oh, dear. I've broken my fingernail.
Mrs. Bloxby.
Oh.
Two more volunteer bin men for you.
Oh, you are kind, Mrs. Layton. Here, have a bin liner.
Actually, may I split you up? If you and I do the churchyard, Mrs. Wendell, could you and James do the village green?
Oh.
All the wreaths have been knocked off the war memorial. It looks awful.
Oh, yes, we'll make a marvellous team. You see, I suffer terribly from vertigo, but if James does all the bending over, then I can point out where things go.
Oh, right, So I'll see you for lunch, Agatha. 1 o'clock sharp.
And I'll make sure he works up quite an appetite. Come along, James.
Oh, I can't bear to see the village like this. It's like an old friend covered in cuts and bruises.
Yes.
Is there anything you wanted to talk to me about?
No, dear, no. Should there be?
I was just wondering why you sent those two away.
Oh, that. Well, I just feel that if James spends some time with Mrs. Wendell, he'll appreciate you all the more. She was only with me a few minutes, and already I feel like breaking the sixth commandment.
Mrs. Bloxby, it's not like you to speak ill of someone. And I never thought of you as a matchmaker.
Well, there's quite a bit more to me than people think. I'm not just a nasty vicar's wife who bakes little cakes.
Are things still difficult at home?
Well, the police seem to be leaving my husband alone now. They seem to think that the killer was someone from Tristan's past.
My thoughts exactly. If only he had a time machine.
Well, we don't, dear, do we? Anyway, I feel what the whole village needs right now is a bit of light relief. So I'm going to organise a charity event.
What do you have in mind?
Well, it suddenly came to me while I was lying in the bath last night that we could raise money with this.
That's a rubber duck.
Exactly. Now, supposing we filled the village pond with these and each one had a lucky number, we could have a fishing game.
With respect, that's never going to be the highlight of the sporting calendar, is it?
Oh. Do you have a better idea?
Well, if you really want to get people spending, you need something they can gamble on.
Oh, a day at the races. Oh, duck races!
That's the most ridiculous. Actually, that might be possible. Farmer Ruskin has a millstream on his land. You could float rubber ducks down it and have bets on the outcome.
Oh, goodness! Sounds just like Las Vegas. Only in the countryside rather than the desert.
Yes. I'll go and have a word with Farmer Ruskin. Use my feminine wiles.
Yes, and I'll have a think about refreshments. We do have several bottles of Mrs. Beccarelli's homemade wine.
Well, if that's for sale, people will be very free and easy with their wallets.
Is that your phone, Mrs. Raisin?
I think I left mine at home.
So where on earth is it coming from?
I think it's coming from this tomb. You don't think someone's been buried alive, do you?
Well, the headstone says 1932, so I think the batteries would have run down by now.
I think I found it.
Oh, yes?
It's right here at the bottom of this urn.
Mrs. Raisin, don't touch it!
It could be something to do with the murder. Did Tristan have a mobile phone?
Yes, he did. Maybe he dropped it here on his way to the vicarage.
Perhaps there was a struggle.
But surely the police would have found it by now.
Well, finders keepers. Let's see who's been calling Tristan.
Mrs. Raisin, don't!
Why not?
Fingerprints! I'll go and get Bill Wong.
But I thought you wanted me to help with this.
Well, I also want you to stay alive. Whoever killed Tristan is very dangerous. I think you should leave it to the police.
Fine. Whatever you say. I'll get on with organizing a day of the races.
Here, boys. Come and get your dinner.
Well, Mrs. Raven, it's a grand idea, but I don't reckon these ducks will go where you tell them to.
No, no, it's not that sort of duck.
Homing pigeons, yes. A rare breed of pig, if you ask it nicely, but ducks don't really have that team spirit.
No, I mean rubber ducks. Plastic ones, the kind you float in the bath.
Oh, that makes sense now. And at least you won't have the RSPCA breathing down your neck. Right bunch of killjoys they are.
So may we borrow your millstream?
You surely may, my love, you surely may. I might even have a flutter myself. So, how are you going to get the crowds in? I'm stuck out here in the middle of nowhere.
We're going to give out flyers or have someone with a sandwich board.
Now, you need more than that. You need someone going round all the villages saying, roll up, roll up, roll up. A flash character, a brash character. Someone who's not afraid to make a fool of himself.
I can't believe you've dragged me away from home and hearth for one of your ridiculous charity charades.
Oh, shut up and put the costume on, Roy.
I was not put on this earth to waddle about the home counties dressed as Mother Goose.
This is Carsley Amateur Player's finest costume. Mrs. Bloxby sat into the small hours sewing on the feathers. Now, your left leg goes here, and your right leg here. Right.
Oh, it's the flea bag. Well, don't come any closer. I could crush you with my webbed feet.
Don't worry, Chivers. The silly duck man doesn't mean it. Now, I've got you a poem to read.
What?
To add a bit of comedy.
Oh, up to now, it was a Greek tragedy.
Here you are. Now, remember, projection and diction.
Oh, yes. Barnyard animals mustn't mumble. I'm a lucky ducky. Though I've got little legs. I spend my day a-scratching hay and sometimes laying eggs. But now I'm going racing. Now there's a sight to see. So come along and place your bets. It's only 50p. Oh, this is awful. Who wrote this rubbish?
You're just not selling it properly. I knew we should have got Judy Dench.
One, two, one, two. And you join us for the fourth race of the afternoon. The conditions are good, not too much duckweed, and the birds themselves are under starter's orbit. Triple winner Jemima Puzzleluck is the much-fancied favourite, but will Plucky Jim somehow manage to fix it? And they're on. And it's an early lead for Jemima Puddleduck and Plucky Jim, but coming up on the inside lane is the great Donaldo. Donaldo inches into the lead. But watch this. He's upside down with his head beneath the water. Yes, Plucky Jim is in the lead, but the statistics are stacked against him. It's a two-duck race, but do not rule out a late challenge by Dr. Doodle-Doo. And in a hot stop, then Jemima and Plucky Jim are neck and neck, and yes, the winner is Plucky. Yes, a remarkable return to form for this very daring duck. There is Jemima, Cock-a-doodle-doo, and the ugly duckling. And as Ducky takes his place in the winner's enclosure, we adjourn for 5 minutes with the next race at 3 o'clock.
Roll up, roll up! Who will buy some Cotswold liqueur? A glass of Cotswold sunshine for only a pound. Will you have a glass, Mrs. Wendell?
Not for me, Mrs. Raisin. I'm on the Carol Waterman detox. I mean, not that I need to. I just thought I'd see what it was like.
Well, it's a powerful brew. Even the battling Boggles have decided to make love, not war.
She was a real magician, Mrs. Beccarelli.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, I spent many long evenings with her, sampling various concoctions. Her wine always had the power to loosen tongues.
Loosen tongues? Are you talking about Tristan?
Possibly. Yes. I think he may have told her more than he should have. And she was foolish enough to let on what she knew.
But
What did he know that was
so... Oh, ladies, I can't thank you enough. You've raised a small fortune.
Oh, don't thank me, Mrs. Bloxby. It's all down to Mrs. Raisin.
Oh?
Well, if anyone has the power to drive people to drink...
Oh, Miss, speaking of drink, I'm a little worried about the Morris dancers. Al said they've been imbibing rather too freely, and he's going to have to introduce them on stage. I do hope it doesn't turn into an embarrassing shambles.
Morris dancing, an embarrassing shambles? Surely not.
Oh, look, it's your little feathered friend.
Oh, yes, sir. Hello, Ducky.
Well, Ducky, that's the last time I humiliate myself for the likes of you.
Oh, dear, what happened?
Well, I've been to the Red Lion. I managed to persuade people to put down their pints and come and see the races.
Oh, well done, you.
But on my way here, I passed the children's playground. And the little darlings suddenly decided that swings and slides were passé and that they'd much rather follow the funny duck man and pull out some of his tail feathers.
Oh, my word. Whatever did you do?
I told them to pluck off.
Oh, dear. Well, come on, let's get you out of the costume. Come on.
Well, we may as well count the money, Mrs. Raisin. Ten.
What did you mean about loosening tongues? What do you think Tristan knew?
99, 100. Well, he'd met some very powerful people in the course of his fundraising, including a couple of millionaires, such as Richard Binzer.
I know that, but he gave Binzer his money back.
Oh, no, he didn't. Tristan refused. £2.50, £2.70. But Tristan had the upper hand, because he knew that Binzer was having an affair with someone. I don't know who, though. £2.90.
Mrs. Wendell, if you knew all this, why haven't you told the police?
I didn't think it wise. Mrs. Beccarelli told the world she knew something, and look what happened to her.
So why are you in such a hurry to get back?
Well, do you remember your old secretary, Lucy?
Oh, yes. Shorthand speed of one word a minute, and she couldn't use a fax machine. We had to use a carrier pigeon.
Well, she's getting married in the morning.
Is she? I hope she didn't send out the invites, or you'll be standing in an empty marquee.
You'll never guess who she's marrying.
No, but I'm thinking 3 times her age, with a large bank balance and a heart complaint.
Your old friend, Mr. Pettman.
Oh, that waste of space. I wish I'd never sold him the business.
And he'd only been running it 5 minutes when he sacked me. So I hope he does have a heart condition. That way we can have a combined wedding and funeral and I can dance on his grave.
Poor girl, marrying him. Her eyesight must be worse than I thought.
Well, personally, I think it's Stockholm syndrome. You know, when a hostage falls in love with her captor. It's often like that with bosses and secretaries.
Secretaries? Roy, I've got to go.
What? My train doesn't get here for 20 minutes.
Thank you very much for all your help, and I'll be in touch next time I need something.
What? Is that all I am to you? The inside of a duck?
Oh, hello, Aggie.
The secretary did it.
Oh, Lord, she's off again. Which secretary did what?
Richard Binzer's secretary killed Tristan LaBelle.
And how did you work that one out? Was it written in the tail feathers of the winning duck?
Binzer is convinced he got his money back. It arrived on his desk in a plain brown envelope. But what if his secretary put it there? She paid the money, and then she came to Carsley to get it back from Tristan.
Now, talk about acting beyond the call of duty. I'm glad I'm not your secretary.
So am I. The thing is, she felt guilty because she was the one who introduced Tristan to him, which was like letting a viper into the nest.
Why would a secretary commit double murder? I mean, I know you can't get the staff these days.
She was having an affair with Richard Binzer, and Tristan found out, and I rather think he was threatening to tell Mrs. Binzer.
Now, hold your horses. The secretary couldn't have killed Mrs. Beccarelli, could she? Because we saw her in London the day Mrs. Beccarelli died.
Mrs. Beccarelli had been dead 24 hours when we found her. She died the day we made the appointment, and we made that with a temporary secretary. The real one wouldn't have let me within a mile of her beloved boss.
Well, all this is terribly interesting, and you're certainly giving Agatha Christie a run for her money, but do you actually have any evidence?
No, of course not, but nothing else fits.
Oh, I see. So you've ruled out alien abduction, international terrorism, and evil twins, have you? Look, Why don't you go home, take your shoes and socks off, and have a nice cup of chamomile tea?
Because it tastes like pond water. Now, are you going to help me or not?
I think I shall opt for the latter, but if you really feel strongly, you can always go and talk to Bill Wong.
Oh, don't be silly. He's far too busy restraining Morris dancers. Look, why don't we pop down to London tomorrow and follow the secretary home from work?
And so what exactly? You are a multiple murderer, and I claim my £5 prize.
No, of course not. We'll have to be devious.
Oh, really? Do you think you can manage that?
Are you coming or not?
As it happens, it's out of the question. I'm having dinner with my editor.
James, this is a matter of life and death. And you're going to chew the fat with some tweedy academic with elbow patches?
Actually, we'll be chewing some rather fine moule marinier, and I don't think Olga wears elbow patches.
Olga?
Olga Brzezinski, my editor.
Sounds like a Russian shot putter. Well, I hope it all goes well. You and Olga can have a nice dish of borscht, and Cagney can solve this without James Lacey.
Well, I've typed up the minutes of the Mandelson meeting. I've got some trunks for your trip to the Maldives and a silver rattle for your nephew's christening.
Oh, Melody. Where would I be without you?
Selling the big issue at Liverpool Street Station.
You sure you won't join me for dinner?
Not tonight. Anyway, what would your wife say?
Well, I can always say the train was late. Now that I'm running them, they usually are.
How much longer do we have to keep on hiding?
Not much longer. Soon. I'll get it all sorted soon, I promise. So, where are you going this evening?
Dinner with my ex-boss.
Oh. So there was someone else before me.
Well, you've had other secretaries.
I won't be making that mistake again. So, what's your old boss up to now, then?
He fared rather badly in the last recession. He now runs a bed and breakfast in the Cotswolds.
Really? Just think, if you'd stuck with him, now you'd be changing sheets in some B&B.
No, no. If I'd stuck with him, he'd be a millionaire businessman.
Hello, I'm sorry I'm not available, but please do leave a message.
James, where are you? Oh, of course, you're out with a shot putter. Well, I followed our suspect home from work. She went for a meal with a rather seedy middle-aged man, and he's just said goodnight on her doorstep. The address is 37 Chepstow Villas, Ladbroke Grove. He's now driving away in a battered Fiat Panda. Registration number... Oh, dear.
Is there a reason you've been following me all evening?
Oh, hello. Do I know you? Sorry. I was thinking of buying a house in the area, and you know what they say about visiting a place at 11 o'clock when the pubs have shut.
Mrs. Raisin, please stop digging.
Okay, I'll put down the shovel.
So, do you have an explanation?
I'm sorry for following you. But I had to get you on your own. Now, you may not want to hear this, but I have conclusive proof that your boss murdered Tristan LaBelle.
My boss?
I think so, but I may need your help. Can we talk?
Well, perhaps we should go inside. It's not safe on the streets these days.
I'm terribly sorry. I know this must seem very cloak and dagger.
No, not at all. So, how do you like your coffee?
Black, no sugar. You see, I wasn't sure if that man you were with was something to do with Richard Binser.
Oh, no, that was a friend. He runs a small hotel in the Lake District. Now, can I get you something to eat as you spent all evening with your nose pressed to the restaurant window?
Was I that obvious?
Not at all, but it pays to be perceptive in my job.
I'm fine, thanks. Which one of these is mine?
Either. We both take it the same way. So, you have proof that my boss is a murderer?
I think so. But I need your help to confirm it.
What are you talking about?
I found Tristan's mobile. It was in the graveyard where he had a struggle with his killer.
How do you know it was his?
I recognised the ringtone. It was Ride of the Valkyrie. Now, if we could just look at the numbers in the call log...
Have you told the police?
I don't trust them. They're always happy to chase the little man, but if you're a multimillionaire, they protect you.
Who were you talking to earlier?
Oh, just my cleaning lady, telling her I'd be staying in London tonight.
So, let's have a look at this phone.
I haven't got it with me. I thought I might get mugged.
Where is it?
In a locker at Paddington Station.
Fine, I'll get a taxi and go and have a look.
Right. I'd best give you the ticket. No, maybe this is a mistake. We should go to the police.
We'll go to the police afterwards. Just give me the ticket.
You're starting to scare me.
I only want to do the right thing. And as you say, the police can't always be trusted.
No, you can't trust anybody. Which is why sometimes you just have to take desperate measures.
So there isn't a locker at Paddington Station?
No, that's my lottery ticket. Hope you feel lucky.
Oh, Mrs. Raisin, I didn't mean to kill anyone. I just wanted my money back. Only Tristan decided he was going to tell the whole world about me and Richard. I had no choice.
And Mrs. Beccarelli?
Oh, she knew too much. I'm not proud of what I did, but if you'd ever loved anyone like I love Richard...
Look, what's done is done, but this isn't going to end with the two of you walking into the sunset.
Oh, it might, Mrs. Raisin. The night is young.
Just put that knife down.
Shut up, you stupid...
Help! Help! Somebody
one
help
more
me!
Noise and you'll be joining Tristan.
Oh, for pity's sake, the police are at the door.
There's no one at the door. You're hearing things. You must be mad.
Agatha!
Up here! James!
Agatha! Melody Pearl!
Oh.
I'm arresting you on two charges of murder.
No,
one of
no,
perverting the course of...
No!
One of perverting the course of...
Are you all right?
As well as you can be when you've had a knife pressed to your jugular.
Why didn't you leave it to the police? They were on to her.
If the police had called, she would have clammed up. It took another ruthless woman to get under her wire.
One of these days, Agatha...
One of these days, you'll learn to listen to me. Anyway, I thought you were meeting your editor.
That's right, in Notting Hill. I picked up your message while Olga was powdering her nose.
And you condescended to come and rescue me.
Of course I did. I'd walk a million miles for one of your smiles.
And then what happened? Did he take you in his arms and promise to love you forevermore?
No, Roy. He had to get back to his editor. So he shoved me in a taxi and sent me off to Paddington Station.
With a little label attached. Please look after this Aggie.
So I thought I'd crash with you for a few days.
That's fine. I do have a rather knackered old sofa bed.
Well, I hope you'll be comfortable on it. I'm having your room. I need to stretch out. Roy.
Aggie?
Am I wasting my time with James?
Hard to say. He seems like a nice chap, but he might be a bit out of your league.
You cheeky sod.
Perhaps if we got you spruced up a little. Tell you what, tomorrow morning we'll go to Camden Market, get some silk stockings, a nice sexy negligee.
Can we get something for me as well?
Honestly, men, who needs them?
We do, Roy, we do.
In Agatha Raisin, Penelope Keith starred as Agatha, and Malcolm Sinclair was James. Richard Binser was played by Nicky Henson, Mrs. Bloxby by Liza Sadovy, and DC Wong by Stephen Hogan, with James Holmes as Roy, Tina Gray as Mrs. Wendell, Ella Smith as Miss Partle, and Gerard McDermott as Farmer Ruskin. Agatha Raisin was dramatised by David Semple from the novel by M.C. Beaton, and the producer was Carol Smith.